discussing yesterday the political implications that arose during the imama of the fifth imam alayhi salam. One matter that completely was left out for short of time was an incident that is reported in some books but not in others, and it is in respect of a dispute that Walid had with the emperor of the Byzantine Empire of the time. The Muslim Commonwealth of the time was using currency coins that were really in circulation in the Byzantine Empire on the eastern side of the Roman Empire. But a dispute arose between the emperor and Walid, and in consequence the emperor thought he could take advantage of the situation as his coin was being used, his currency was being used in Syria as well. So he proposed to change his coin and change the wordings on it, which Walid thought would be derogatory to the Holy Prophet and the dignity of the Holy Prophet, and hence he objected to that. But the emperor was obstinate, primarily to teach Walid a lesson and to make him subdue to the Byzantine authority. Walid did not know how to react to that, so he consulted the ulama of Syria, but everybody thought that the right person to consult on this matter was perhaps the most superior of their ulama, and everybody pointed, of the ulamas, everybody pointed to Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. Walid therefore, much to his disappointment, became helpless and consulted Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. When Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam was involved into this decision, he said to Walid, you can never accept the change that the Byzantine emperor wishes to make, and indeed if you do, you will be subduing the Muslim authority into the Byzantine and Roman authority. And so politics demands that, and indeed the dignity of Islam demands that you do not subdue yourself to that level. But Walid said, what is my option? And the Imam alayhi salam said, the option is Islam starts issuing its own currency. You mint our own currency. It will not be economically a burden to the community, because whatever benefit goes to the Byzantine Empire as a result of our using their currency will now flow back into our own economy. And on that currency, the Imam alayhi salam said, on one side you must have the inscription La ilaha illallah, and on the other side have the inscription Muhammadur Rasulullah. And the Imam alayhi salam said, once the Byzantine emperor will see that this is how we have reacted once and for all, our independence and authority over world politics will be established and stamped. Walid was extremely delighted with this opinion, and from that moment onwards Islamic currency was minted and Islamic currency flowed to the disgust and absolute shock of the Byzantine Empire, which as a result suffered heavy losses because their currency now was not being used throughout the Islamic Commonwealth, which by then had extended far and wide. So you can see that the currency in each of these Islamic states that is being issued today is as a result of the wisdom and suggestion of Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam, and they all owe it to him for having their own independent currencies. But from the political implications, I wish to move on, as tonight is our last sitting, to the miracles and extraordinary events that were witnessed at the hands of Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. I have already discussed with you a couple of nights back the miracle that Abu Basir saw how he was questioning the authority of the Imam, the extent of the authority of the Imam alayhi salam, to learn from it, and the Imam manifested it to him. We will see one more of that tonight, but I wish to start with a couple of Abu Basir, which are extremely, not only interesting, but educative. The first of these is that on one occasion, as Abu Basir and the Imam alayhi salam entered the mosque together, Abu Basir paused for his own reasons, and the Imam alayhi salam stood next to him without moving. When Abu Basir was ready to move, the Imam alayhi salam said to him, "Abu Basir, pause and ask everybody who enters whether they can see me in the mosque, whether I've arrived in the mosque or not." Abu Basir for a moment got a little surprised, because he said he had to follow the instructions of the Imam alayhi salam. So the first person entered, he would stop him and say, "Is Abu Ja'far al-Bakr alayhi salam in the mosque?" He would turn around, look around and say, "No, he's not." So the next, and so the third. And Abu Basir at one time turns to the Imam alayhi salam and says, "I'm absolutely surprised. These people have eyes. You stand next to me and they are not able to see you." But this is the authority and the competence of one who is Hujjatullah. His control over affairs, that he should be there and not be seen. I suggest to you that this is a teaching of the Imam alayhi salam for us in this century. Because the Imam alayhi salam, our Imam, since the ghaibah, would not be seen at all. But here is a perfect example of the functioning of ghaibah. The Imam alayhi salam is there, he sees us, he sees everybody who enters, who knows exactly what are the activities that are going on, and yet none can see him. But there are those of us who can see the Imam alayhi salam in these days too, and have claimed that they have seen him. How does that operate? Suddenly, as people move in and all of them say that they couldn't see the Imam alayhi salam, a blind man, Abu Harun, moves in. And when Abu Harun moves in, Abu Basir does not want to ask him, because he's a blind man anyway. The Imam alayhi salam turns to him and says, "Abu Basir, ask him as well." And when Abu Basir asks Abu Harun, "Do you see Abu Ja'far alayhi salam in the mosque?" Abu Harun immediately says, "Abu Basir, isn't he the Hazrat standing right next to you?" And Abu Basir was absolutely baffled. He turns to Abu Harun and says, "Abu Harun, I thought you were blind, and you are able to tell me that he is standing next to me." And Abu Harun says, "Abu Basir, this is not a man made of physical earth. He is not made as you and I are made. He is Nuri. He is made of light. And it is only through his light that you can appreciate his presence." That was the ma'rifah of Abu Harun. See, embarrassing lesson for us therefore is that we too would be able to see the 12th Imam alayhi salam today if we had those eyes that can perceive light. Because then, if that light of faith can be seen through our eyes, we too can see him. There was a blind man who could see the Imam alayhi salam. Abu Basir says, as we entered and the Imam alayhi salam made himself visible to people and we sat, a group from Africa arrived. And when they arrived, they came straight to the Imam alayhi salam to meet him and greet him. And the Imam alayhi salam greeted them, and then they conveyed salams from various mu'mineen of Africa. One of them being Rashid, says, "Rashid sends regards to you and salams and asks you to pray for him." And the Imam alayhi salam says, "Yes, I have prayed for Rashid, but do you know how he is? Rahmatullah alayhi. May Allah have mercy on him." In Arabic courtesy, Rahmatullah alayhi is said for a person who has passed away, who is not with us anymore. So they were staggered. They said, "Ya Ibn Rasulullah, it appears Rashid has passed away." So so the Imam alayhi salam says, well, how did you leave him? And they say, well, we left him very well. He was healthy, no sign at all. Indeed, he asked us to convey salams to you and asked us to ask you to pray for him, just as we said. And the Imam alayhi salam says, yes, but soon after you left, his condition changed and he passed away on such and such a day. And they were absolutely staggered. Indeed, Abu Basir said, find out and let me know what you say of it. They said, we don't even need to find out if Abu Ja'far says he has passed away. May indeed, as he prayed, Allah have mercy on him. And then Abu Basir has the courage, because these people from Africa were not that intimate with the Imam alayhi salam to be able to say such things, to say, Yabna Rasulullah, indeed Allah has favored you with the knowledge of things that happened without your presence there. And the Imam alayhi salam says, Abu Basir, and this is the reason why I put this extraordinary event to you, so that you can be acquainted with the functioning of the Imam alayhi salam, and hence we can have some recognition of the way the 12th Imam alayhi salam must be functioning with us in these times. The Imam alayhi salam says, O Abu Basir, we know of all the activities of our shares. When our shares do good acts, we are gladdened by those acts and we pray for them. But likewise, Abu Basir, we are saddened by evil acts of our shares, but we are abreast with them. When they are well, we are aware of the good health, and when they are unwell, we are aware that they are unwell and of the sickness that befalls them. And when they pass away, we attend to them and we pray that Allah should have mercy on them. It's a fantastic, fantastic episode in which, through the wise questioning of Abu Basir, we today gratefully know the functioning of the Imamah and how very conscious they are of our good health and of our sickness. Indeed, again, a slight digression, but I hope you will be interested to hear this. not my purpose to say this, but I'm driven into it. Exactly that situation happened in the time of Hazrat Amir alayhi salam. Ramla, a devout follower of Imam Ali alayhi salam, was taken sick. Temperature was so high, he could not attend the mosque at all. But one day he felt a little better, happened to be Friday, so he did the khutbah of Friday and decided he would go and listen to the khutbah of his Mawla. And indeed went to the mosque that day and listened to the khutbah, said his prayers. But as the khutbah started, he began to shiver with temperature once again, because the temperature went up and he began to shiver. But he saw that whilst the Imam alayhi salam did not concentrate on him earlier in the khutbah, the moment he began to shiver and looked at the Imam, he found the Imam constantly looking at him and paying attention to him. And when the khutbah was over and the Imam alayhi salam turned to move to his house, Ramla followed him to his house. The Imam alayhi salam welcomed him and said, Ramla, are you feeling better now? As I delivered the khutbah, I saw you were trembling and I prayed for you. And Ramla says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, your prayers worked. I was so keen that after so many days, I should once hear your full khutbah. And so I sat, but the shiver was such that I feared I may not be able to sit right to the end of your khutbah. But when I saw you looking at me, you gave me confidence. You inspired courage in me, and I was able to sit right through the end of your khutbah. Hazrat Amir alayhi salam says, Ramla, I know exactly the day the fever caught you. I know exactly the way your fever went up and how bad it was. And I prayed for you, Ramla, and I knew you would come today and we would have a chance to meet after the khutbah today. And hence I was waiting for you, and hence I was keen that shivering should not discourage you to go away, because I was looking forward to this meeting. This is how the Imams alayhim salam treat their shears. This is how they are concerned about their shears. What Hazrat Amir alayhi salam said to Ramla, one finds Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam saying to Abu Basir. Indeed, he knew exactly when Rashid passed away, prayed for him, and was concerned about him. But I'd like to give you an example, which I promised you last night. An example even more significant than that. Because this was an example of a person who had passed away. I would like to give you an example of a person living and in dire circumstances, needing the help of the Imam alayhi salam. Abu Aina says, I was sitting in the majlis of Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. Suddenly, there comes the servant and says that a person from Damascus has come. He claims to be a Shia. Before he says anything more, the Imam alayhi salam says, let him in. The doorman, anxious that this is a man from Damascus, and whether the Imam alayhi salam would need any protection. The Imam alayhi salam says, let him in. He comes in and says, Yabna Rasulullah, I am one of your Shias from Damascus. And the Imam alayhi salam says, I know. He says, I am in some difficulty, and I thought nobody can help me except you. He says, I am your Shia, and I constantly think of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, and I attend functions relating to the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. My father, on the other hand, is an enemy of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. He is a lover of the Umayyads and a stout follower of Muawiyah and Yazid and their successors. And hence, there was always a friction between him and me. I could not help making tabarra on them, and I would upset him considerably when I did so. And when he spoke ill of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam and made tabarra on him, I would be upset. And this friction always remained in our family, but I persisted on it because I knew right was with you, and I knew that if I did not do that, I would spoil my hereafter totally. And hence, I decided that I will persist in that form of behavior. Well, that friction lasted until my father passed away. Let me lift this liver a little. Until my father passed away. When my father passed away, he was a rich man. He had lots of properties. He had a big house in which we lived, which of course is still there. But he had a garden. And in that garden, he always visited it whenever he wanted some rest. But I know that he had a lot of other money. He has not left anything for me. He has not left to other people, but he has not left anything for me either. And hence, I am now in dire circumstances. I am in financial constraints, but there is nobody to whom I can go and ask for money, because in Syria, I am regarded as evil only because I am your Shia. And so, I have come to you, because you are a person blessed with knowledge by Allah. You are a person who, with your knowledge, are able to know where this property is. What has it done with it? Is it still there? And if it is still there, would I be able to have access to it? These are all matters to which you have sufficient, of which you have enough information, and you can guide me. Hence I decided, instead of going to courts or talking to other people, I will come directly to you. And so, I have come to you for guidance. The Imam alayhi salam says, do you think there is anybody in this world of the humans who knows where he has hidden the property other than himself? He says, no, I don't. The Imam says, well, this is it. There isn't anybody who can help you in that way of the humans in this world. But I will help you in this way. I will give you access to him. Allahu Akbar. This is a person who has died. And the Imam alayhi salam says to this Shia, I will give you access to him. And when you have access to him, you will meet him. Ask him. And he says, Mawla, I am grateful for this. But when I ask him, will he tell me? Because it is because he did not want to tell me that he died without telling me. And I don't have this knowledge. If I meet him, will he tell you? And the Imam alayhi salam says, his condition is such, and his circumstances will be such, that indeed he will tell you, and you will come to know where the property is. So he says, Mawla, I'm here to follow your guidance. So Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, you have traveled from far, and so I cannot delay you here in Medina. Tonight, go to Baqi, go to the graveyard of Baqi. This fellow was buried in Damascus, mind you. The Imam alayhi salam says, go to Baqi at midnight. And when you are in Baqi at midnight, go right to the center of the graveyard. And when you go to the center of the graveyard, shout, Ya Sirjan, Ya Sirjan, two are enough. When he comes, give him this piece of paper from me, tell him that I have given it to you to give it to him. Look at the authority of these people. These authority which they exercise are not merely worldly. And this is why the Prophet kept telling us that Hussein is better known in heavens than he is known on earth. He said, and Imam Ali alayhi salam said, I know the parts of the heavens better than I know the parts of the earth. There are those who laugh at those comments. There are those who have learnt how to believe them. And this is one of the and Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam says, tell him that I have given you this letter. He will produce your father to him, to you. Ask your father whatever you want to ask your father, you will find your property. This man is absolutely shattered. Least did he think that this is what will happen. He thought the Imam alayhi salam would just tell him where the property is hidden. But there we are, that night, promptly and dutifully, he goes to Baqi, and in the heart of Baqi he shouts, and there comes a person in Amama, and the Imam alayhi salam said, you will see him in a robe and in an Amama, black Amama, you will know exactly that that is him. When he came, before he could say anything to him, he turns around and says, I know you have a command from my Mawla. You can see that this mastership that we are talking about, and that word that the Holy Prophet used, Man kuntu mawlahu fahada aliyun mawla, that the Prophet was a Mawla, Imam Ali alayhi salam is a Mawla, that word has a far extensive meaning than we humans have been able to recognize or embrace. He says, my Mawla has given you a letter for me and has a command for me. So he says, yes, produces the letter to him. He reads and says, hold here, I will bring your father in a few minutes. And he brings a person. This person says, I could not identify him at all. My father was a fair-looking person. This person was dark. He was feeble. His bones seemed to be charred. And he walked with great difficulty. According to another report that Allama Majlisi cites, which this particular report in Muntaha al-Amal does not say, says that he was even in chains round his neck and chains in his hands and legs. But he comes to his son and says, oh my son, I am pleased to meet you. And the son says, but no father, you are not my father. So Sirjan immediately interrupts and says, yes, I wouldn't disobey my Mawla. I have brought you exactly the one who is your father. So this Shia now is staggered. He is not able to contradict that. He turns to his father and says, father, what is your condition? And he says, you were always right, my son. I was always wrong. That mahabba that you have for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is what I lacked. Wise words of the fifth Imam alayhi salam we discussed last night. Take with you that which when you are there you will like to have. And keep behind that which when you are there you will dislike to have with you. That is this, and that is when I promise that tonight I will give you an illustration of that. Well, this gentleman says, this mahabba I had for the Umayyads and for those who harassed and tortured Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and the cursing I did for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are all coming in my way. The moment I died, I found myself in flames of fire. You see me a different person. I am not fair anymore because I am charred by the flames. But the flames also have smoke, and the smoke and the smog has made me what you see me. Indeed, they have charred my bones. I am not able even properly to walk. It is the command of your Imam alayhi salam that has instilled in me the strength, that has made this man instill in me the strength to be able to come to meet you and talk to you. But keep to what you are doing and pray for me that I also should have the mahabba of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So the message is received by the son, and then the father says to him, you are concerned about the property I left. And the son says, yes indeed, I am very much concerned about the property you left behind. And because you have left this property behind, and now I do not know, I am in strain. He says, there is nothing, O my son, that gives me greater pleasure today. Mark these words, my brothers and sisters. He says, there is nothing that gives me greater pleasure today than to help one who left the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. These gatherings, your spending time to come here, is not in vain at all. It's not in vain at all. There will be that day, inshallah, when you will be able to say, thank God, the mercy of Allah on me, that I spent time in the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And indeed, these words paid him good dividends, as we shall soon see, inshallah. So he says, look, I have hidden a lot of money. I have hidden 100,000 dirhams, large sum of money in that time. But it's all hidden in a certain tree. You know the tree under which I used to sit in summer in the garden. Dig that. You will not quickly find it because I have dug rather deep. So dig as deep as you can. Dig as deep as you can until you find that parcel. When you find that parcel, open it. And in it, you will find 100,000 dirhams. You do not need 100,000 dirhams. So he says, no father, I don't. I will take as much as you want to give me. He says, keep half of it yourself and give half to the bowler, Imam Muhammad Baqir salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. How lucky he learns to help himself even at that time. Usually, once you die, the accounts are closed. But others can do good to you. And one set of persons who can do good to you are your children, waladu salih. And that is why they say that one of the sawab-e-jari, one of the methods of sawab-e-jari, is to have a walad-e-salih, a virtuous son, because the acts of the virtuous son can help the parents as well. Hence, it is important for us all to be that virtuous son, so that we help our parents. The reward for that, according to Masumin alayhi salam, is that we will have virtuous sons who will likewise think of us when we will need their prayers most. It is a question of doing good to deserve a good turn in return. But you can see that this person was able to make this gesture to the Imam alayhi salam, to say that now I have learnt my lesson and I have developed love for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam entirely because his son was a Shia. So even a son being a Shia can be a great blessing. And this is not a blessing to be belittled. Times are changing, and hence did I take time throughout these 10 nights to emphasize the importance of remaining a Shia, particularly because of the nonsense that we get against us through various sources, including internet. Well, he says, yes, father, I will do that. And immediately Sir John says, time for me to take him away, and I will take him away. And he is taken away. This person comes back. Abu Naina says, the next day, I was now conscious. I couldn't sleep that night. I didn't know whether this Syrian went to Baqi or not, or what happened. But promptly that morning, I was in the majlis of Abu Ja'far alayhi salam, so that I see what happened. I learned from this Syrian whether he went to the graveyard, and what did he witness. Truly, this Syrian comes, falls on the feet of Imam Ja'far alayhi salam, and he stops and says, Mawla, what you said came true to the letter. To the letter of what you said came true. I went and I met my father, and it was a depressing sight. And the Imam alayhi salam said, you have seen little of what he has undergone. Those who have enmity for the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, Allah treats them with vengeance. And those who have love for us, Allah treats them with excellence and mercy. These are the words of the Imam alayhi salam to a person who experienced it firsthand. Little is known of what happens in the next world, but much can be known at the hands of those who control the next world too. They can control who moves out, who is given strength to move, who is able to meet whom, to meet the man of this world, and even to tell him where to find his property. He says, Mawla, I will go to Damascus, get the property, and bring half of the share that is yours now, and I'll bring it to you in good time. Abu Naina says, I gave time, and after a while, I went to Imam Ahmad Baqir alayhi salam and said to him, Mawla, I'm just keen to know, not important for me to know, if you do not wish to tell me, and you are the best judge of these things. I wanted to know what happened to that Syrian. I have learned a lot, but I am just curious to know whether he did find those 100,000, and if he did, whether he brought your share for you. And the Imam alayhi salam says, yes, he promptly got the money for himself because he needed the money, and he brought that money to me too. And oh, Abu Ayna, the money was useful to me because, and these are such important words that touch our hearts, he said, because I was in debt. I had made donations, but I had to borrow money. This is how the Imam alayhi salam made these donations. They were not minting currency notes in their house. When I spoke last year of Imam Hassan alayhi salam giving out money, of Imam Hussein alayhi salam giving out money, it was all hard-earned money. And for that charity, Allah rewards them manifold. And it is from that reward that we hope they will channel some reward for us when our account is imbalanced, and they will feel they should keep it in good balance. Well, and hasanat should outweigh the sayyiat in those cases. Well, he said, I had debts. I have cleared them all. And then it was necessary to buy some property, and I bought that property also. And he said, I needed some more money because some more people were in trouble. I didn't have said it. You would have expected me to say this. And indeed, the Imam alayhi salam said, some more people needed it. So I have already spent that money for those who needed that money. Well, this is how the administration of Imama goes. Administration in which the functioning is not only temporal, but not only secular, but it is spiritual too. Not only of the matters of this world, but of the matters of the hereafter also. And all controlled by them in serenity and in the course of their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jabir ibn Ziyad says that once I was going to Hajj with him. Sorry, I was going to Karbala with him. And indeed, it is Muhammad Baqir salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi who introduced the Shias to Karbala. He said, "We were going to Karbala, and he could feel that I was hungry. He turns around to me and said, 'Jabir, you need something to eat.' Jabir says, 'Mawla, not important, because we are now in this place which is a desert. How can we get food here? Let us reach Karbala and see if there are shops in Nainawa.' The Imam alayhi salam says, 'Jabir, if you need food now, I can give you food now. But the food, Allahu Akbar, he says, but the food I will have to give you now will be the food of heaven. Because as you say, the food of earth is not available in this area. But let me tell you, it will not be difficult to get food of heaven in this area, because we are in a piece of heaven.' Jabir says, 'We are in a piece of heaven, no less.' Yes, we are in Rawda, min Riyad in Jannah, for the Shias. And it is a Husra, min Hafur in Nar, and it is a pit of the pits of hell for those who are not our friends." Jabir turns round to Imam Ahmad Bakr and says, "Mawla, where are we?" And Mawla says, "We are in Karbala. We are in Karbala." So you can see the level of that land. And we can see that when we are there, we are indeed in a piece of heaven. Hence it is said, ask for your wishes when you are in Karbala, because that is the place where your wishes will be granted. The guarantee, of course, is tahta al-kubba, beneath the tomb of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But the recommendation is to ask for your wishes wheresoever you are in Karbala. Wheresoever any shaheed fell is the place where Allah accepts wishes. This is the eminence of these personalities. You're spending the day tomorrow as you will, therefore is in good grace, it is in good shape, and it is not in vain. Every minute that you spend grieving over Imam Hussein alayhi salam has its own rewards. You do not sense it, you do not feel it, because you do not keep accounts. You have left the accounts to those angels. They record every second of grief that we have for Imam Hussein alayhi salam and for those who died with him. And why not? Why not? Because they died for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing that they did for themselves at all. Every step was for Allah and for saving the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know better than I do that but for Hussein, would we have had the name of Allah today in this world? Well, how would Allah reward them? How would Allah reward them? And reward those, I've already recited a hadith of the Holy Prophet last year, in which he says that Man ahabba al-Husayn ahabbani, the Holy Prophet says, not Hussein, he who loves Hussein loves me. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي لَكَدْ أَحَبَّ اللَّهِ, and he who loves me loves Allah. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ اللَّهِ وَجَبَتْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. These are not idle words. These are words from him about whom Allah says, وَمَا يَنْتَقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He does not say out of love for his children, إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى, until he is sure that it is the wish of Allah that he should say so. Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam says to Jabir, says, "Jabir, you are in a piece of heaven here." And having said so, he promptly puts his hand into what Jabir just sees as a collection of stones. He puts his hand into them, takes out, gives an apple to Jabir. Jabir says, "An apple of fragrance I have never experienced before, of sweetness I have never known before. And that one apple was enough to satiate me for more than a day." And we shall discuss more of that inshallah when we discuss Surah Yasin. فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ سَلَامٌ قَوْلًا مِنْ رَبِّ الرَّحِيمِ. When we come to those glorious holy verses, we shall discuss more of the fruits of heaven. Well, here we are. That is how Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam operated as a person, as easy with matters of the heaven as he was with matters of the earth. Just putting his hand into a heap of stones, and there emerged apples from heaven. And that is just one. That is just one incident. A number of such incidents happened. Indeed, in another example, I am jumping ahead a little only to connect it to another example. They were going to Makkah and they became thirsty. And people in the group were really thirsty. And there was no water. They finished the water with them. Imam alayhi salam says, "What is the problem?" And the group leader says, "There is no water." Imam alayhi salam says, "That is no problem. All he does, he picks up pebbles from the earth. You can't get water out of stone. He gets pebbles out of the earth, crunches them in his hand. Water starts flowing. He tells people, gather the water. That all that water is gathered, and they have as much water as they like." Seeing this, people come to him and say, "Yabna Rasulullah, but we are hungry also. This will quench our thirst. We need food also." And the Imam alayhi salam says, "Yes, we are in desert. The right food is dates." And they said, "Yabna Rasulullah, nothing like dates. If we can get dates, ever grateful to you, our lives might be saved." And the Imam alayhi salam goes to a tree that was absolutely dry, a date palm that was absolutely dry, turns to it and says, oh date palm, produce that which Allah has created you to produce. It may be a season of dates, it may not be a season of dates. The command of the Hujjatullah fi Ardi produces that season for it. And that is the position in heaven. These are heavenly commanders. That is what happens in heaven, as we shall discuss inshallah when the time comes. You do not have to wait for la maqtuatun wa la mamnu'a, Surah Waqiyah. For those Fatiha, Surah Waqiyah says that those who will be at Habul Yameen, those who will be on the right side, will not have to wait for seasons. There will be a flow of fruits, and the flow will be such, la maqtuatin, it will not be cut short. It will not be seasonal, that once that season is over, you do not get fruit. وَلَا مَمْنُوعَ, there will be nobody to stop you from plucking as many as you like, and as often as you like, and whenever you like. Now, these things are shown to us by the Imam alayhi salam to satisfy us that they are not only masters of this world. Indeed, if they are representatives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these things prove them to be so, then they ought to have command of the things beyond what is terrestrial, for things that are celestial. Well, they say, and this is reported in the Sunni work, they say that soon they saw that tree blossoming and buds appearing, and soon unripe dates were seen. And soon those days ripen, as though, in other words, that procedure which Allah has set for the day to grow had to take place. وَلَا تَجِدُوا لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. In the sunnah that Allah has kept, you will not find change. That sunnah has to take place. If you are born, you've got to die. That is the sunnah Allah has kept. And so that sunnah, that tree went through that complete process. And the complete process, how photosynthesis took place, Allah better knows, and indeed produced the dates, all of them at the dates to their heart's content. So the control is manifold, but I must move on. Although I've been asked to extend my majlis a little, and this is Allah's grace on us that we should be talking of Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam for a few more minutes than we intended to. Well, these mu'jizat therefore flow on. Apples are given in this way, and various other fruits. But one hadith that is shattering is that Maqnad says, whenever I wanted to pray and to pray peacefully in Makkah, I would go on Kohe Abu Qubais. And inshallah, you have seen Kohe Abu Qubais. And those of you, if there are any who haven't seen it, may Allah show you Kohe Abu Qubais as soon as possible. Because that is the hill very next to the Kaaba. He says, I would go to Kohe Abu Qubais. And from that height you can even see the Kaaba, because the Kaaba is in a valley. And I would quietly sit there and pray. That day when I went, I saw another personality there. Pious, glorious, and such that I saw him embedded in his prayers. I decided I will go and sit close to him, learn what he is praying, what he is doing, because I saw he was a better worshipper than I was. And in a few moments after I went there, he suddenly took a sigh, and I saw he was exhausted. When he took a sigh, he lifts his hand and says, "Oh Allah, inni aradtul ibna, I now cherish to have some grapes." And he lowers his hands and leaves. Soon I saw a basket hanging from the sky. It came suspended from the sky. He would not lift his hand. He would not stretch his hand to it. And the basket came nearer and nearer to him. And it came so close to him that then he was able to put his hand into it and pluck one bunch of grapes from that basket. When I saw that, I thought, I too should have a few of them. So I stretched my hand. He turns to me and said, "What are you doing?" He says, "What are you doing? This is a generous family, as we have seen. And there is reason for that question." He says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Sayyid, I'm taking my share. Because when you pray for grapes, I said, Ameen. And the one who says Ameen has a share in the fulfillment of the dua. Hence, you got the grapes because you made the dua. I would never have got the grapes if I made the dua. No question of it. But I said Ameen. And hence, I have my share, even if it is a lesser share than yours." Imam alayhi salam turns around and says, "Have as much of it as you like to your heart's content." So I had those grapes. He says, "Never have I seen grapes like that. That size, that thickness, that juice in it, that flesh in it, and the sweetness of it and the fragrance of it." I turned around and said, "Sayyid, these look to me to be grapes of heaven." Once the Imam alayhi salam had a few of those grapes, he turns, he lifts his hand and thanks Allah for the grapes. And once he has thanked Allah for the grapes, this Makhnab says, "I saw that basket which was suspended there and remained suspended in the air all the time, never touched the earth. I saw it lifting itself up in the heavens and totally disappeared." I was flabbergasted. But this man then decided to go. So he took out some clothes. What we call trousers in the modern days. Izar is what you said, and those who know Izar know what I'm talking about. It's the same Urdu word which is used in Arabic. So Izar and Rida and the upper garment. But I said to him, "I don't need this. I have no need for garments." So he took back, and immediately I saw him walk down. I now could not restrain myself. So I walked behind him, but I did not have the courage to speak to him. I did not have the courage even to ask him his name. As he descended, I descended behind him, following his footsteps. He went towards Safa. And those of you who have been there know that mountain, Safa. In those days, it was a full mountain. It is now that it's been broken down. He went towards Safa. There he meets a person. I could not hear their conversation. The Imam alayhi salam immediately took out the same garments and handed them over to him. This household, what it dedicates for charity, does not keep for themselves, gave away in charity immediately. So I went and dragged the man who got that and said, "Firstly, tell me, who is this man who has given you this?" It's Izar and Rida. And he says, "Well, don't you know him? How unfortunate. He is the grandson of the Holy Prophet. He is the Al-Baqir alayhi salam." And there are umpteen examples of that level that come in and go. But Abu Basir says, "Once I was with him, and when I was with him, I praised the people who were who were there doing tawaf, and said, "What a beautiful crowd, Ibn Rasulullah, what a huge crowd." And the Imam alayhi salam says, "No, these are not worthy people, Abu Basir. They are not people worthy of your admiration as you have admired them." And so Abu Basir says, "Mawla, why do you say that? These are pilgrims." And Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, "But Abu Basir, do you want to see who they are and what they are?" And he again stretched his hand over the eyes of Abu Basir. Abu Basir says, "All I saw was monkeys and pigs going around the Kaaba. There were but only three or four men." And the Imam alayhi salam then stretches his hand back. Abu Basir is to his original state, says, "Mawla, what have I seen?" And the Imam alayhi salam says, "Yes, we notice this. We know the actions of these people. We know even their intentions, their niyyah in their hearts." And Abu Basir weeps. And should we not be weeping? Because Abu Basir says, oh my Mawla, how hard must it be for you? How sabir, how patient must you be that you notice all this and yet countenance all that and are able to stomach it all as zulm on you in this world? Because seeing evil is as painful as suffering evil. And how much more painful must it be to a person of the level of the sinlessness of Imam Muhammad Baqir salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Well, this is how his life was spent, full of examples. But then those who were envious, particularly Hisham, jealous of the Imam alayhi salam, could not see it. And indeed, the criticisms we have today are of that level too. People who want to give higher level to those who do not have that level. And hence, the only answer is to lower the level of those whom Allah has given level. But let us consider this speech. I was taking little liberty because I was told I have a little more time with you. But let me rush to this speech lest I fall short of that time. Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam says, a stage was reached when Hisham decided that he couldn't do with the presence of Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. I mentioned yesterday, and I started with this, hoping to complete this aspect of the matter today, that he had already started killing the companions of Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam was not to be praised in public. And why not? Only because Hisham could not have been praised, could not have been praised in the like manner. And hence, the importance of Ahlul Bayt had to be curbed at the hands of the Umayyads. But truth, alhamdulillah, has prevailed. And we thank Allah. We thank Allah profusely. We thank Allah abundantly that even tonight we are able to sit and praise Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. And we praise him much more tonight than ever before, than in ever any of these nights, because this ziyarah that we will recite tomorrow, ziyarat Ashura, was indeed taught by him. Safwan says, "I told him to take me there, and when we were in Karbala on the day of Ashura, he taught me how to salute Imam Hussein alayhi salam." This ziyarat, assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, this ziyarat indeed. As-salamu alayka ya ibn Rasulillah, as-salamu alayka ya ibn Amir al-Mu'mineen, wa Sayyid al-Wasiyyin. This is the teaching of Imam Muhammad Baqir salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. It is amazing. Time does not permit a discussion of that. But inshallah, I shall try and make time next year when we discuss Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam, because he too was involved in that ziyarah. And recite that ziyarah with confidence tomorrow. I say recite it with confidence because we do not recite the ziyarah in confidence. The reason I say that is that when our ulama, those learned in ilm al-rijal, sat down to sieve out these ziyarahs, the first ziyarah that they said is absolutely authentic is either ziyarat al-waris or ziyarat al-ashura. Those are the two at par. It is one of the most authentic ziyarats we have of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And he then taught Safwan. He said, recite that ziyarah, then recite the lana 100 times, recite the salam 100 times, recite the dua for the salam, which is purely related to ziyarat Ashura. Recite your rakat namaz and the dua al-qamah. That beautiful dua al-qamah. What does it not have, that dua al-qanaa? What can one ask for which is not included in that dua, dua al-qanaa? Was taught by Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. Indeed, al-qanaa says, he was taught by the sixth Imam alayhi salam. He said, I compared the teaching to me of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam with the teaching Safwan got from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, and he said they're matched in every word that was taught. But we'll discuss more of that next year, because I do want to discuss this speech of Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam in the court of Hisham. We discussed his speech to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. That was in a different vein. Tonight there is even more learning from the speech he gave to Hisham. And that stage arrived, according to Imam Dafar Sadiq alayhi salam, and I narrate all this as set out by Shaykh Saduq alayhi rahmah, and in other works as narrated by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He says, Hisham got so disturbed by my father, the mere existence of my father. Indeed, I like to say the excellence of Imam Dafar alayhi salam, that he called him over to Damascus. And when Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam goes to Damascus, said this to you, I was hoping that I may not have the time to say this. Now that there is time, I will mention this too. When they enter, father and son, when they got to Damascus, they were detained for 3 days. So they rested for those 3 days. And then so only as an attempt to humiliate them, the fourth day they are brought into the court of Hisham. And what the Imams alayhim as-salam see is that there is a level done and a board for archery, and archers, bows and arrows kept there. And Hisham says, Yabna Rasulillah, the eminent people have gathered here to see you display your art of archery. Now, this is belittling the Imam alayhi salam. So the Imam alayhi salam turned around and said, Oh Hisham, that is an adventure and a game in which the children indulge. I am now an old man. I do not indulge in these things. It is beneath me to be called upon to indulge in these things. Hisham persists. He says, no, you are a man of many arts. He felt sure that a person of this piety, a person of this level, would not be indulging in archery. Bows and arrows are not his game at all. So at least he will humiliate him. He will find that the Imam alayhi salam cannot even shoot the arrow from the bow. And one way in which he can humiliate the Imam alayhi salam, he pressed the Imam alayhi salam so much that the Imam alayhi salam says, very well, if such is the pressure from you, I will take the bow and the arrow. He takes the first bow, shoots the arrow, and it goes dot on the aim. When Hisham sees this, he gets staggered. He says, Yabna Rasulullah, it's not on the aim. You are such a good archer. Would you like to try a second one? And the Imam now says, yes, if you wish me to. The Imam takes the second arrow. Now on that target, there is already an arrow. The Imam alayhi salam shoots the other arrow, and the other arrow goes and pierces the first arrow into two and sticks into the target itself. The Imam alayhi salam did this repeatedly 9 times. Now those who are gathered there, who are not allies of the Quran, they are allies of Hisham and the counselors of Umayyad, even they in their Amawi taste began to admire the Imam alayhi salam. They too began to worship him, saying, what a beautiful archer. Never have we seen an archer like that. 9 arrows all split, because the next one came and split them all, and each got onto its target. Hisham thought, what I wanted to do has been reversed. These people now are admiring the Imam alayhi salam. Says Yabna Rasulillah, this is enough. Why did you first say that you were not indulging in it? The Imam alayhi salam says, what you have seen is not my perfection of that archery. Where would the perfection have taken him? Maybe he would have got the 9 in a ray and split them like that. But that was an answer to which he was duly entitled. And then they were standing there. The Imam alayhi salam would not sit until invited to sit, and Hisham would not invite him to sit, because Hisham was now irking with jealousy that even what he wanted to achieve, he has failed in achieving. So he wanted to keep the Imam standing. The Imam al-Islam began to get tired, 57 years old person. And when he began to get tired, his ghadab, his anger began to show on his forehead. When that anger began to show on the forehead, Hisham, who had two rows of soldiers there, only to show off his army to the Imam al-Islam, looked up. And when he looked up, he saw ghadab, he saw wrath of Allah falling. Looks into the forehead and he could see that rock is because of the rock that flowed from the forehead. He immediately asks the Imam alayhi salam to sit on his right, and Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam is given. I appreciate the sawab in salawat, and interrupt me whenever you wish. And Imam, the sixth Imam alayhi salam is kept to the right of the fifth Imam alayhi salam. And now Hisham does not know what to talk to them. He called them to issue warrants of death. He called them to kill them in the presence of his counselors. He doesn't know how to move next. So he turns to the fifth Imam alayhi salam and says, "We have seen your archery. Does your son Sadiq, does Jafar also have that skill in him?" The Imam alayhi salam says, "O Hisham," and there flows the flood of oratory and the flood of knowledge and teaching to an arch enemy. But there were many people sitting there. Tabligh is the duty of the Imam alayhi salam at all stages and at all events, and this is an event that called for tabligh. So the Imam alayhi salam says, "O Hisham, we are an Ahlul Bayt, specially blessed by Allah. In us there is perfection in everything, and he as my successor has perfection in everything as well. We indeed are the embodiment of that ayah in Quran which says, 'Al-yawm akmaltu lakum deenukum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa radita lakum al-islam deena.' That perfection of ni'mah is what Allah has put in us, Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam." Can you imagine those majestic words being spoken to an arch enemy in his own court? In his own court, you can see that this is indeed the grandson coming, flowing from Zainab alayhi salam, son of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, who had accosted in such terms the grandfather of Hisham in the form of Yazid. Well, he says that perfection that Allah talks about, perfection of his ni'mah, do all mu'mineen have that perfection? But when he talks of having perfected his ni'mah, he talks of having perfected his ni'mah in us. And hence that ayah is revealed on Ghadir. Because when Imam Ali alayhi salam is appointed Mawla, then that perfection which is in him becomes the guide for humanity, becomes the ni'mah for humanity. As we saw yesterday, there is tranquility on earth, there is peace on earth because of the existence of the Prophet or his hujjah on earth. There is existence of that perfection of his da'mah, and there is existence of that deen with which he is pleased. Wa radita lakum al-islam deena. Hisham sees the tables turned against him. When he sees the table turns against him, he turns round to the Imam and says, "Oh, Ibn Rasulillah, what are you talking about? isn't this these qualities coming to you because you are descendants of Abu Ibn Manaf?" So he wants to bring the Umayyads into that quality and says, "Isn't this quality that Allah has given to those who flow from Abu Manaf?" Because now his counselors are listening to all this. There, the courtiers also begin to believe in what Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam is saying. The purpose of Hisham is defeated. You can see the acumen of Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam, the boldness and the depth of knowledge with which he spoke, the truth that he spoke in that particular meeting, the truth we believe in today, the truth that those who don't like us do not like us to believe in, but that is the truth, and hence we believe it is truth, he said to Hisham in that court. So Hisham says, "Isn't this given to Abu Manaf?" And the Imam alayhi salam promptly says, "Oh Hisham, no, it is not given to everybody in the family of Abu Manaf. Indeed, the wahi only came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It came only to that one person of Banu Hashim. And then he said, Oh Hisham, when that wahi came, it was the will of Allah, and Allah ordered the Holy Prophet that he should pass all the knowledge that Allah had given to him, he should pass all that knowledge to Ali alayhi salam. And before Hisham asks, the Imam says, because Allah knows best which was the receptacle that would be able to contain that weight and that extent of that knowledge. And proceeds to say, Oh Hisham, if you want to know the weight of that knowledge, then Ali alayhi salam has said, and may I remind you, I gave you this hadith in 1999. He said this to Umar when Umar asked him, I see you sitting in privacy with the Holy Prophet. What was the Prophet telling you privately? Why should Umar have needed to know? But he did. I leave it to your judgment. Umar asked that question, and Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Oh Umar, the Holy Prophet teaches me, has taught me 1,000 gates of knowledge. Abwabul ilm, 1,000 gates of knowledge. And oh Umar, each one of those gates opens another 1,000 gates of knowledge. Indeed, may Allah bless the holy progeny of the Holy Prophet and bless him as well. Well, Imam Hazrat alayhi salam quotes this to Hisham, says this is what Ali said, and this is all that knowledge that he obtained. So Hisham says, that knowledge that you are talking about, didn't the Holy Prophet come for all people? The white, the black, the brown, the yellow, didn't he come from all humanity? And didn't Allah say, Wallahu warithu samawati wal ard, and Allah is the inheritor of the heavens and the earth. Why are you talking like this? And the Imam alayhi salam says, Hisham, that is true. But there had to be a guide for all those humanity. And this is what Allah says in Quran. He sends a guide for all those community. بَعَثَ مِنْكُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ يَكْلُوَ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. That ilm is passed through those entities who are blessed with the fullness of knowledge. And from that fullness of knowledge, then that knowledge oozes out to whosoever is capable of receiving that knowledge. And he says, Imam alayhi salam says, that knowledge then flows from one recipient to another, competent to receive it. And Allah knows best who is competent to receive it. And this is how he flowed from Ali to Hassan to Hussein to my father and to me. And from me, it will flow to my son Jacob. You can see the khilafa of the Umayyads is being crushed in this argument in the very court of Hisham. And the imama of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is established in that very court by logic and by reason. And then Hisham says, oh, but Ali with all this knowledge claimed that he knew matters of ghaiba. How can he know matters of ghaiba? Exactly the question on the internet. How can he know matters of ghaiba? Because matters of ghaiba are known only by Allah. And Imam replies and says, oh Hisham, Allah has given that knowledge to the Holy Prophet. And he says, I have given you a book. In that book, there is Ta'banul Ilm, Ma Kana wa Ma Yakun. That book contains ilm, knowledge of what has happened in the past and all that is going to happen in the future. All that knowledge was given to the Prophet, and the Prophet passed it on to Imam Ali alayhi salam. Indeed. You will forgive me for moving on this, because in 1999 I told you how many people the Imam predicted about their deaths. Of course, he told Imam Hussein alayhi salam when he was coming back from Siffin and when they were in Karbala. But I pointed out to you, he told Maysam al-Sammar how Maysam al-Sammar would die. He told Kumail how Kumail would die. He told Hijr bin Adi how Hijr bin Adi would die. He told Abu Zar how Abu Zar would die. Each one of them was told ages ago, and indeed he told Hassan, he told Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam how he would die. He even told his daughters Zainab and Kulthum as to what would happen to them. That ilm was no confidentiality. He did it in public. And what he said came true. Let Hisham have understood that before he asked that question. And so the Imam alayhi salam says, "Oh Hisham, this is knowledge that is bestowed on us through the mercy of Allah, and this is knowledge that we use to guide the people so that they are able to obtain salvation." Hisham now finds tables turned against him, just as Yazid did. And so he says, "Yabna Rasulullah, is there anything I can do for you whilst you are here?" And the Imam alayhi salam says, "Yes, Hisham. There is one very important thing you can do for me." So Hisham says, "Yes, Yabna Rasulullah, I would be glad to do it." And he says, "Let me free from this place so that I go back to the graveside of the Holy Prophet. In other words, let me get rid of you." Hisham, helpless, says, "Yes, Yabna Rasulullah, you are free to go whenever you like." He said that because he wanted to be sure. He wanted to be sure that the Imam goes, so that this embarrassment is lost, because he was then afraid that if he did not let the Imam go, people might so love the Imam alayhi salam that he might be toppled. And so he allows the Imam alayhi salam to go. When the Imam alayhi salam leaves and says to the entourage, and this is really the people of Hisham who had brought him and are now ordered to take him back to Medina, he says, "We go as soon as we can, we go now." And as they left, he sees a group of people gathered. When he sees the group of people gathered, he asks the people, "What is this?" So the soldiers say, "Yabna Rasulullah, there is an eminent Christian monk. He is the most learned of all the Christian monks. He comes here once a year, and a fair is held like this. People gather, and the Christians ask him whatever questions they want to ask about his religion." So the Imam alayhi salam says, "Well, I've just finished one session of Tabligh, I'll start another one." He goes there and tells them, "Let us go and listen to him." He hides himself for a little while, then he takes an elevated place. But the monk, clever as he was, spotted him. And when he spotted him, the Imam alayhi salam was masking himself, but he spotted him and said, "You look like an eminent scholar. From what religion are you? Are you from Ahlul Marhamah? Are you from the religion of the Holy Prophet?" And he says, "Yes, indeed, I am from the religion of the Holy Prophet, may peace be upon him and his progeny." And so he says, "Are you from ulama or juhala? Are you from the scholars or are you from the ignorant?" What was the Imam alayhi salam to say? He couldn't possibly have called himself ignorant, because it would be a lie. He couldn't possibly have called himself a scholar, because he was so humble, as we have already discussed. He gave a beautiful answer. He said, "All I can tell you is that I am definitely not amongst the ignorant." So the monk says, "Well, let us have a discussion then. Will you ask me questions or shall I ask you questions?" What was there for the Imam alayhi salam to ask that monk? So the Imam said, "You ask me questions." And the first question the monk asked him, what a scholarly session, now that we have the time for it, for us to indulge in. The Imam says, ask the question, he says, "What is that hour in the day which falls neither in the night nor in the day?" Promptly and without a second thought, the Imam alayhi salam says, "That is the hour between the crack of dawn and the rising of the sun. That time of Fajr doesn't fall during the day, because the sun has not risen. Does not fall in the night, because the darkness of the night has dispersed. But that is a beautiful time." The monk says, "If it is not in the day and the night, then what kind of hour is it?" He says, "It is not terrestrial hour at all. It is not an hour, in other words, belonging to this world at all. It is an hour of the heaven. It's an hour of the heaven. And that is why you find that those who could not sleep the whole night are able to get sleep at that hour. Those who have had pain all night in agony find their pain reduced at that hour. Those who have had worries and have tossed around in worries find those worries subdued at that hour." The monk says, "Ahsan, I'll ask you another question then. We all believe that in heaven men will eat of the fruits. Looks like we are discussing Yasin from this side. So you will eat fruits and will drink from the rivers of honey and milk. Well, but they will not need to pass excretion. There will be no excretion. How does one understand that in this world? Because when we eat, we need to pass water. We need to release excretion. How will that happen? Is there an example by which that can be illustrated in this world? Without a second thought, the Imam says, yes, indeed there is. Look at that little child in the womb of the mother. That child receives its food from the mother. The child receives its water from the mother. And the child does not excrete. There is no need for that excretion. Everything that goes in is utilized by the body so that there is no waste left over. Food from heavenly trees do not produce waste. Are not capable of producing waste. They all become part of the human being. He becomes absolutely shuddered. Says, what knowledge that you have, and what you have said is all true. But he says, now I'll ask you a question, which you will not be able to answer. The Imam alayhi salam says, go on. He says, there was a couple that got together. The lady conceived, but conceived a couplet, twins. Both of those were conceived on the same night. They were born on the same day, together, almost together they were born. Yet one died 50 years old, the other died 150 years old. But they both died on the same day. How did that come about? And the Imam alayhi salam said, you are asking me about Azar and Uzair. Azar and Uzair were both born, conceived on the same night, born on the same day. And when they were born almost together, Azar and Uzair. Azar continued to live, and he lived 150 years. When Uzair had lived 30 years, he died. Allah took him away. But then, after 100 years, he was reborn. He was resuscitated, and he continued to live the life that he left when he was 30 years old. He lived another 20 years with his brother Azar. Both Azar and Uzair died together, but Azar was then 150 years old. Uzair was only 50 years old. The monk said, I have no more questions to ask you. You are beyond a person who can be asked questions. Tell me all who you are. Tell me from what family you are. And all that Imam Muhammad Baqir said, my name is Muhammad. He turned around and said, yes, but not a Muhammad like any other Muhammad. You are a Muhammad like the Muhammad who brought your religion. Alas, Muslims of that period and Muslims of today are not able to appreciate that this Muhammad is indeed the same Muhammad who brought their religion. Because if they did, they would not be talking to us like this. Hence, the Holy Prophet said, أَوَّلُنَا مُحَمَّدْ أَوْسَتُنَا مُحَمَّدْ آخِرُنَا مُحَمَّدْ كُلُّنَا مُحَمَّدْ. But Hisham was destined on killing Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. And that day came when poison was sent to the governor of Medina. Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam calls Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam and says, Oh my son, I saw the Holy Prophet last night in the dream, and he told me that I will be with him tomorrow. So tonight is my last night in the world, and he made his wasiya. Ultimately, he was martyred by the poison that Hisham gave him. And this is how they were out, the Umayyads, to eradicate the family of the Holy Prophet. But what they did in Karbala is totally beyond comprehension. They behaved worse than human beings. They behaved worse than beasts who were wild beasts. Indeed, to deprive a 6-month child of water. When have you heard this to happen? To deprive a human being of water itself is a great crime. Water is a human right. All our declarations say that you can never deprive a human being of water. Imam Ali alayhi salam taught that in Siffin. They deprived Hussein alayhi salam of water. But that stage came when Imam Hussein alayhi salam took his 6-month-old child to the people and told them. Imam Hussein alayhi salam made his hujjah and said, "You have killed my companions and you have killed them thirsty." It was faithful to the Imam alayhi salam that his companions were killed thirsty. Then he said, "You have killed my family members. You have killed my Abbas alayhi salam thirsty. You killed my Akbar thirsty. I never came to you to complain because I now know what is your system. But my Azhar is only 6 months old. He cannot fight you. He cannot do anything to you. Give him a little water so that at least his life is saved. Because look at his condition. He cannot even breathe now because his position is so bad." And then turns to Azhar and says, "Azhar, you also make your hujjah." And Azhar moves his lips and moves the tongue. He literally takes the tongue out of his mouth to show to the people how dry the tongue is. Indeed, Imam Hussein alayhi salam then says, "If you still are not prepared to believe what I say, if you still do not think that if you give him water, I will drink even a drop of it, would Hussein have drunk water which he did not give to Akbar, which he could not give to Akbar? Would Hussein have drunk that water which Abbas threw away whilst it was in his hand?" But they turned to him and said, "No, we will not give water." Imam Hussein alayhi salam put Shahzad Ali Akbar on the ground. That heat of Karbala, ya Allah, that heat of Karbala, the 6-month-old child is now being put on the ground. And the Imam alayhi salam says, "If you don't trust me, you come and give him water." Nobody gave him water. The Imam alayhi salam lifts him and says, ya, O Azhar, you make your battle now. And Umar ibn Sa'd, these people are now getting worried. They feel water being given to Hussein also and to Azhar. He says to Hurmala, Umar ibn Sa'd says to Hurmala, "Oh Hurmala, اقطع كلام الحسين." Oh Hurmala, cut into pieces, shatter the words of Hussein. Hurmala now takes out a 3-pronged arrow. I say to Hurmala tonight, 1-pronged would have been enough. Hey, Hurmala, it's a 6-month-old neck. It's not the neck of a giant. Why do you need a 3-pronged arrow? He takes out a 3-pronged arrow, shoots at Azhar. Imam Hussein alayhi salam revives that it entered into one ear of Azhar. Minal Uzun il al Uzun, it went into one ear of Azhar and came out in the other ear of Azhar. Azhar is now no longer there. Imam Hussein alayhi salam takes the blood of Azhar in his hand, does not know what to do with it, applies it to his beard. But now, how does Azhar take the body to Rabah? He goes towards the tent and comes back. And you will say this tomorrow in rhythm bi qadaye wa tasleeman li amri inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. 7 times the Imam goes and comes back. How was Hussein alayhi salam to hand over that body of Azhar to Umar Rabah? When Umar Rabah sees that body of Azhar, all that she does say, "Ammasaluka ya naro," did they slaughter a small child, 6 months old, of yours too? Turns round to the Imam alayhi salam and says, "Yabna Rasulillah, I don't expect they gave Azhar water." Sukaina says, "They did not give Azhar water." Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, "Sukaina, they did not give Azhar even 1 drop of water." ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون رحمة الله.